listening this morning at the very outset of our talk, oh, to be saved from myself, dear Lord. Oh, to be lost in Thee. Oh, let it be no more I, but Christ, who reigns in me. Reign over me, Lord Jesus. Reign over all within. Make me a loyal subject to Thee in everything. Now, with all that before you, still basing my talk on that giant Psalm number 16, which please turn to. Psalm number 16, and verse number 1 again. Preserve me, O God, for in Thee do I put my trust. O my soul, thou sayest unto the Lord, Thou art my Lord. I have no good beyond Thee. To the saints that are in the earth, and to the excellent, in whom is all my delight. Their sorrows shall be multiplied, hastened after, offer gifts to, exchange me for another God. Their drink offerings of blood will I not offer, nor take up their names into my lips. Now may I go back over that full verse? Their sorrows shall be multiplied, that exchange me, offer gifts to, hasten after another God. There is no God in my life, none but Thee, Lord Jesus. And here the psalmist is saying, I will not offer the offerings of blood, nor take up the names of any other God as I come to worship Thee. The dearest idol I have known, whate'er that idol be, help me, dear Lord, to tear it from Thy throne and worship only Thee. Now go back to the last phrase of verse number 3. And in Thee I find all my delight, in whom is all my delight. Oh, can we look up this morning and say triumphantly, Lord, Thou art enough, the mind and heart to fill. Fix my eyes so wholly, Lord, on Thee, that with Thy beauty occupied, I elsewhere none may see. Oh, precious Lord Jesus, how lovely Thou art. Come and abiding, rule in my heart. Break every fetter, Thy face let me see. Then Thou shalt ever be precious to me. In Acts chapter 2 and verse number 36, you have these words. Peter is saying, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this same Jesus, which ye have taken, and with wicked hands crucified and slain, both Lord and Christ. Again, Peter, in Acts chapter 10, verse 36 says, He is Lord of all. Man's estimation of our adorable Lord Jesus was a cross of wool, a crown of thorns, a reed for a scepter, and they clothed him in mockery. God's estimation, He has given him the highest place that heaven affords. He's placed a crown of pure gold upon his kingly brow. He's clothed him in all the royal apparel. He's given him the royal scepter and the authority to wield that scepter. Now with all that before your heart, I want to suggest to you in the statement from Acts 2 and Acts 10, His Lordship is plainly a declared. Irrespective of what you may say, or anyone may say, God says concerning His beloved Son, He's plainly declared it that He is Lord of all. Now I want you to come with me, bearing along the same lines of Philippians chapter 2. Philippians and the second chapter. And we're just going to go down this somewhat slowly. Now I trust to be a real definite blessing, as well as a challenge to all of our hearts. Philippians chapter 2 and verse number 5. Now let us come into the Holy of Holies this morning. May we recognize, we sung in that lovely hymn, Lord Jesus Christ, we seek Thy face. Within the veil, we bow the knee. Oh, let Thy glory fill this place. and bless us. While we wait on thee, shut in with thee far, far above, the restless world or below, we seek to learn and prove thy love, thy wisdom and thy grace new. And our dear brother Ray sang so beautifully, and I believe really from his heart, he touched me. Oh, may we know the touch of the pierced hand of the risen Lord on your life and on my life this morning, and we'll never, no never, say nay and the same woman again. Oh, for that touch. Now look at verse number 5. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the very substance, the very essence of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. The first Adam grasped after equality, reached out after equality with God. The last Adam had no need to do that. There was never a time when he was not God. There'll never be a time when he'll never be God. He's God over all, blessed forevermore. Verse number 7. But made himself of no reputation. He never made himself of no character. He made himself of no reputation in his birth. The only one who got the choice of a mother, and he chose Mary. The only one who got the choice of a birthplace, and he chose the state. He made himself of no reputation in his death. He died between two married men. He made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant. Now notice the contrast. Verse number 6 is in the form of God. God of very God. Now we see him here in the very form of a servant. Doing a menial task, taking the lowest servant's place, laying aside his garment, girdling himself around with a towel, and stooping down towards the very feet of the man who was just about to deny him, Peter, and the man who was just about to betray him, Judas. For Judas was at that Passover supper, he was not at the Lord's supper, and in between those two, there comes the feet washing. And now here is one. I knew the heart of Peter, I knew the heart of Judas, and yet, my friend, how delightful, and yet how challenging to your heart and my heart, hear the Lord of life and glory, getting down and washing the feet of those men. And he said, as I have done it unto you, so do ye one to another. He that is chief among you, let him be your servant. I came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give my life a ransom for all. Can he go lower? Let us read. And was made in the likeness of man. Speaking reverently, the Lord was never made anything. By his own voluntary will, by his own definite action, he became in the likeness of man. Now look at the next part. And being found in fashion or habit as man. As man. There are only two men. The first Adam and the last Adam. The first Adam, the federal head of the whole of the human race. Unless you came from a monkey. If you came from a monkey, I didn't. And neither did you. You're far too good looking for that. And so, Adam is the federal head of the whole of the human race. Whereas Christ, the last Adam, is the federal head of the whole of the spiritual race. And the Bible says, as in Adam, all die. So in Christ shall all be made alive. All by nature are in the first Adam. All by grace are in the last Adam, the Lord from heaven. We can't be in both at once. Moment, my friend, you trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, God sees you no longer as in Adam. He sees you in Christ, holy without blame before him, in love. The wonder of that glorious truth. May I repeat? as in Adam, under the curse, in Christ, in the blessing, under condemnation, justification, in death, in life, in darkness, in light, in hate, in love, in bondage, in liberty, in separation, in acceptance, in the beloved. Now, where are you? Where are you? In Christ? Amen? Oh, the wonder of it all. Dear eyes, this morning that we are in Christ, and as He is before the Father, in all His inflexible holiness, in all His intrinsic righteousness, in all the eternal worth and value of His own glorious person, so are we today down here. Look up now. Aren't you glad you're a Christian? Aren't you glad you're a child of God? Oh, the wonder of it all. We are in the beloved. I think of that lovely verse in Hebrews 2 verse 14 which says, for as much as the children are partakers of flesh and blood. Now that is by the natural course of events. You could not help being born the very beautiful person you are. I couldn't help being born just as I am. It's by the natural course of events. But the very next phrase says, but He likewise took part. A different word altogether. We are partakers of flesh and blood by the natural course of events, but Christ likewise took part by His own voluntary will, by His own definite action. He took a body like unto your body and my body, yet apart from sin. It is impossible for God to die. Yet if we were going to be saved from dying in our sin, then God must come into manhood. God must come into manhood. For as much as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, He also Himself likewise took part of sin, that through death He might destroy him that had the power of death and deliver those who through fear of death were all the lifetime subject to bondage. Oh, the glorious joy. No wonder John Wesley could say, as he meditated upon the incarnation of our beloved Lord Jesus, he said, the great Creator contracted to a span indescribably made man. And we sing from our hearts this morning, Thou art the everlasting Word, the Father's only Son, God manifest His seed and heirs, and heaven, beloved one, worthy, O Lamb of God of thou, that every knee heart and every knee to thee should bow. In the beginning was the Word, that is eternity. And the Word was with God, that is His personality. And the Word was God, that's His deity. But verse 14 says, and the Word became flesh and tabernacled among us, and He beheld His glory. He's done that, He did that. He's just beheld the glory of our glorious Lord Jesus Christ. The wonder of it all. Now I go back with me for a minute, will you? Philippians chapter 2. It says here, and being found in fashion as man, I want you to try and keep in your mind now, Hebrews 2, 14 through 15. It says here, He humbled Himself. You say, is it possible that He might humble Himself any lower than He's gone already? Yes, the Bible says He humbled Himself and became obedient up unto death. He was never obedient to death as an enemy. He became obedient up unto death, even the cruel, despicable, loathsome death of the cross. He became obedient to the Father's will. He was ever obedient to the Father's will. And that will led Him right on through Gethsemane's garden. Father, not my will, but thy will be done. Right on the Calvary's cruel cross. There's a span between heaven and earth. But on crowned brow, His whole body veiled in blood. We hear so dramatically this morning that thrilled our hearts as He hung there to span between heaven and earth. The cry ringing from His heart, it is finished! And He bowed His head. The same Greek word as in John chapter 13, when John laid his head upon his breast. Same word. The Lord bowed his head, that we like John might have the great joy this morning of laying our heads upon his breast and learning the secret of that tender heart. Aren't you glad you're a Christian? Aren't you glad you're a child of God? Oh, beloved, this morning how it thrills my soul that I sing of these words again, that loud triumphant cry, it is finished! And he bowed his head. And please get this now. Death had no claim upon him. Christ did not need to die, but we needed to die. And thank God he died in your place, and he died in my place. And bearing shame and scoffing rude, in my place condemned he stood, sealed my pardon with his blood. Hallelujah. Oh, what a Savior. But now get this, the Prince of Life, at whose voice death was ever obedient. He goes in the home of Jairus, death takes its flight. Meets a funeral procession, death takes its flight. He goes to the graveyard, death takes its flight. But now this one became obedient unto death. What for? He heard and responded to the call of death, that we might hear and respond to the call of life. And through his death, he is life. Now get this. I want to glory here. He summons death to be his servant. Got that? He dies as he will to die. And when he will to die, man could not kill him. Isn't that wonderful? Man could not kill him. By the determinate and foreknowledge of God, he was delivered up. But he summons death to be his servant. He died as he will to die and when he will to die. Father, and please remember, the father-son relationship never ceased to exist. There was never a time when he was not the Son of God, not even upon the cross. He cried, my God, why? No wonder Luther said, God as God turned his back upon him, not the Father. He said, Father, forgive them. He's in touch with the Father. Father, forgive them. Then he said, Father, I love this. Oh, it does something to him. Father, can you hear him say it? Father, into thy hands I commend my. Oh, the wonder of that. The wonder. How greatly Jesus must have loved me. How greatly Jesus must have loved me to bear my sin. To bear my sin in his body on the tree. That this one who knew no sin should become sin for you, sin for me. It was there. His whole being was the starting out of recognition. His vision marred more than any man. His forehead more than the sons of day. But listen, the sun refused to shine, while God, the incarnate maker God, for man, he preached. That sight was so terrible, God shrouded him in darkness. God. I'm so glad my brother didn't leave us there this morning, aren't you? I'm so glad he didn't leave Christ upon that cross. Go to one of Paul's 55 wherefores in the next verse. Just say, one of Paul's great 55 wherefores, wherefore? God has highly exalted him. Get the picture. There's number 8. This one who humbled himself and he came of his up on the death, even a cruel, despicable death of the cross, is the one whom God has highly exalted. Is that not a principle running through scripture? That if we humble ourselves, we shall be exalted. But if we exalt ourselves, we shall be humbled. And what does the Bible say? He humbled, wherefore God has highly exalted him. And this word highly, the only time you ever read it again, is connected with his birth. Mary highly favored among women. This word means a super exaltation. Now come the sublime, majestic, thrilling words of Holy Scripture. Verse 9. I could repeat them to you, but I want you to follow them through with me. Wherefore God also has highly exalted him. This super exaltation. We hear the voice, I had a super time. I got a super bike. Here's a super exo. It's a superior to all other. I didn't want to go, he's the only superior. He's supreme. And this is a supreme exaltation. And notice what it says. And has given him a name, which is above every name, that in, not merely at, but in the name of Jesus, now notice this, every knee should bow, of things in heaven, celestial, things on earth, terrestrial, things under the earth, infernal, celestial, terrestrial, infernal, heaven, earth, hell, every knee shall bow. And notice verse number 11. And every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is, say it, Lord. And for whose glory? The glory of God the Father. Isn't that lovely? God has highly exalted him. And every knee will bow to him. And every tongue will confess that he is Lord. The glory. Oh, my friend, his lordship is plainly declared, but in this portion, his lordship is richly deserved. It's richly deserved. Now listen, all in heaven saying, Lord, thou worthy, to take the scepter and to wield that scepter and to reign as Lord. All the redeemed on earth, your heart with my heart included, whether we know the joy of it experientially or not, that's another story. But with our lips, the sad thing is this, the Lord says, why call ye me Lord, Lord, with your mouth, for your heart is far from me? Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things I say? There's the proof that Christ is Lord. I'm submissive to his word. I'm obedient to his word. And all the redeemed on earth cry, Lord, thou art worthy to wield the scepter and to reign as Lord. One day, at the great assizes, great white throne, and all in the abyss, Satan, and all the mighty host, all the unrepentant, every unbeliever, will stand before that throne. They shall gaze upon Holy One, still bearing the marks of Calvary's passion. I believe. And their knees will bow to him. And their tongues will confess that he is Lord. Glory of God the Father. But their acknowledgement will seal the doom of all. Their acknowledgement, my friend, will seal and prove that God is righteous and just. All in heaven. Bowed and said, Lord, thou art worthy. All the redeemed have said, Lord, thou art worthy. One day all from the abyss will marvel before the Lord. And will be all thou art. Will the seven win his law? All the people. And the pang at my heart, I got to say. That acknowledgement, my friend, will feel the doom. Oh, aren't you glad? On this mountain top, this lovely morn, that you've been wise unto salvation, and you bowed your knee, and you surrendered your will, and you said, Lord, oh, precious Lord Jesus, how lovely you are. Come with abiding rule in my heart. Break every fetter of thy face, let me see. Then thou shalt ever be perfect in me. Just take, beloved, this one who went down into death's dark domain. Right down in the very lowest death is the one whom God has highly exalted. He's a great God of honor. All in Jericho, the seraphim and the cherubim and all the archangels stand there, the great God of honor. And here Christ bearing now the mark of Calvary's passion, the mighty conquering Lord rises, panic in greatness of God. And his soul rise up past the great God of honor. Goes up, 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 beyond all distinction, description, and dispensation of power. Up, far above all. up to that rainbow circled road. Your heart and my heart cries, far above all, far above all. Jesus the crucified is exalted far above all. Kingdoms may rise, kingdoms may fall. Jesus the crucified is exalted far above all. See the man of sorrows now, from the fight return victorious, every knee, angel bow. Crown him, crown become the mighty. Victor, crown your heart cry this morning, hallelujah. I was preaching at the graduation in a Bible college in April this month, away across the prairies of Canada. That vast crowd of people stood there and sung. The great hallelujah chorus, the vast choir had just sung it. And I finished with the coronation I did last night. And all I could think of as I saw that vast crowd stand there at graduation. We'd been there for 5 days at the convention and the deepening of spiritual life. And I never forget this. All I could think of was that moment when the grand old Queen Victoria, when she heard the hallelujah chorus sung, she arose, something the Queen should never do. All others rise, the Queen still sits. When it came to this point, the hallelujah chorus, and they sang out the hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Dear Queen rose, she cried, if you were to come in my reign, I would gladly cast my crown. Will you cast the crown of self-will? Only at his feet, will you say, Lord, not worthy and worthy, little Mary, more free. And your compartment and be followed by us. Is he worthy? Why don't you trust him tonight? Why don't you, as a Christian, trust yourself to him? Why do you got the crown of your own little life? And do your own little thing? Why did you allow him to take over? You're struggling, you're stretched under the victorious life, don't you? And you're living in defeat. He said we're more than conquerors through him at once. And you must yield yourself, and there's more victory apart from you there. Or deal with that one moment. Now come look at me, will you? Go back to Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14 and verse number 9. His lordship is plainly declared. His lordship is richly deserved. But now in verse number 9 of chapter 14 of the grand epistle to the Romans, we read here, his lordship is longingly desired. Longingly desired. Now verse 9 says, for to this end, Christ both died and rose and revived that he might be, what? Lord. He died, he rose, he revived that he might be Lord. All in heaven say, he's worthy. All the redeemed say, Lord, thou art worthy, worthy of all. What is your heart say? What is my heart? Is it possible that we are going to rob him of the fruit of his passion? A long, his longing desire. It's a desire of his passion that he should be Lord in your life and Lord in my life. All in heaven they recognize him as Lord. And with our lips we confess and we sing that he is Lord. But is he really Lord? Lord supreme, without a rival in your life and in my life. He died. He rose. He revived. That he might be. What does this mean to you? What does this really mean to me? Am I willing this morning to hand over the reins of my life in to hand over the steering wheel? For please, oh please remember, the Lord will not be a
fair deal in anyone's mind.
And many want him as a mere emergency.
He must have the steering wheel of your life.
Are you willing to hand over the master key? Every compartment, I hear my good brother Willie mention this at the top of the pond. Not just a key of the bunch, but hand over the master key to every part of your life and my life. Going to go through every avenue of your life and my life because it's free. Lord over all, bless you forevermore. Just look at that with me, will you? To Luke chapter 19. And there's 14. His lordship is plainly declared. 19 verse 40. His lordship is richly deserved. His lordship is longingly desired. But here in verse 14 of chapter 19 of Luke, it's heartlessly disputed. Heartlessly disputed. We will not have this man reign over us. Is that the language of some heart here? You want all the benefits of the cross work? Is that identifying yourself with the Christ the cross? Is your heart saying now, I will not have this man reign over me? This man who died for me? Who shed his blood for me? Who gave his all for me? A young girl was going round with a very fine young man. But their eyes were not suited for each other. At least she did. She felt he was not the man for her. And she let him go. In his sorrow, he went away to another country. He came back some years afterward and found this girl, very happily married, a very fine young man. And in a fit of jealousy, he shot the husband. And then he gave himself up. He became a very wealthy man, extremely wealthy. Some weeks afterward, this young widow was sent for, not so much a young widow now, but she was sent for by a lawyer. He said to her, you have become a very wealthy lady. The man who murdered your husband has led his whole estate, all his wealth, to you. We want you just to sign this here, and all this inheritance is yours. The girl flushed. Tears being streamed down her eyes. In a flash of holy indignation, she pushed the paper aside. How can I take anything from the hand of the man that stained with the blood of my beloved? And she refused. How can you fraternize with the world and the ways of the world and think that in the old Adamic nature, stained with the blood of your beloved. He's lost. Is your heart saying this morning, I will not have this man to reign over me?
Like Luke, this is not my message, but I meant to see him with you. There's no introductory, but I'm going to close right now because I'm probably tomorrow morning at the 7:20 meeting on Psalm 16. But this all sprung out of Brother Christensen's message this morning. I just couldn't get away from it. And you can see how things are just dovetailing me one into the other. I just seen Boyd Nicholson up at the Greenwood Hills and the whole thing. There were well over 300 people there at that convention. But the whole thing just dovetailed right in because through my ministry, Boyd some years ago just listened to a message like this and he entered in.
The very same message I'm giving you now, Bob Nicholson entered into that message and surrendered his life to Jesus Christ. And you know the man that God made him. I know another young man who that very same day at St. Catherine said to his young wife and said, "No, the cost is too much. The cost is too much. I know what my mother and my wee kids went through because my father was an evangelist. God's given us a lovely home. God's given us admire and given me a good job. You're expecting the baby. The cost is too much." And she wept. Jim, I feel like, oh, we ought to surrender. That message was from God tonight. Now that we know others entered in that night. Bud Nicholson hadn't got 2 cents rub against each other. As a commercial artist, living in a poor part of Catherine. His wife did not respond that night. Did not respond. She wept her heart out because Bud had yielded his life to Christ. Days afterward, she went down to his studio weeping her heart and said, "All right now, boy, I too have surrendered." The poor grand offering boy a wonderful position. He turned it down. Said, "I'm going to Africa. God's called me, I'm going to the Congo." He offered him a salary he never had in his life before. Then the boss came on and said, "Boy, listen, Mr. Nicholson. We want you to have the job, and the salary is not large enough, we'll give you whatever you want, we want you. Come for an interview," went along the next day. "Now look, I want you to understand, I am going to the Congo, whenever the door opens, I am going to go." When he got there, were 27 men after that job. 27 men, and he didn't lie anything about this, he didn't apply for the job. And when he took the job, you know what they said to him? "The locality you're living in doesn't go with this job. There's a certain prestige to this job, and you've got to get out of that locality." The boss would get to my car. They got in the car, a lovely home, ranch like home. "You got it first. We'll give you an extra $100 upon your salary every month to do all this." What happened to the young man? He lost his job. And their wife lost the baby. And she became absolutely covered right over in Zimmer. Friend, the cost is too much for you not to surrender Christ. Got that? Far too much not to surrender. I plead with you. Now listen. I was at a large conference, over 1,000 people, in Edmonton, Alberta. I preached this message I'm preaching now. Now look at that vast crowd in Jubilee Auditorium. John Smart, Dr. James Nesmith, were the other 2 speakers. Look around at Vance Card, that John Smart has spoken on. The man on the cross. James Naismith followed him and spoke on the man at God's right hand. What was left for me to be will try God, man, upon the throne of my heart? He's on the throne of heaven. He's at God's right hand. He wants to be the Lord and ruler. And in my life, look around at Vance Card, they were coming with me. Is there anyone here this morning? Or this evening rather, would stand up and say, "I will not have this man to reign over me. I don't want him, Lord, in my life. I want his saviorhood. I don't want his lordship in my life." Anyone here stand up and say that? Why, hush. Then, I want to challenge this great congregation. Other those here this evening hour will stand up and say, "Well, Lord, yes, Lord, reign over me." The first man to be seated is John Smart. Second one was James Naismith. One after another in that vast crowd rose to seat that tent. Christ the Lord. What about you? Oh, I know it's not just going to be another Lookout Mountain conference. It's going to be a time that you're never going to forget. I've seen revival all over the BC just recently. A men's meeting was the whole watch was supposed to be under convention at 9:30, at 10:30. The whole thing was in session at 1 o'clock in the morning. Still going at 1 o'clock in the morning. Men breaking down, weeping their hearts out, willing to do business with Jesus Christ. I'm fed up with this manly family wishy-washy kind of a kind of Christianity. The Lord wants reality. He must be Lord. In your life and in my life.
not move at all. He's not walked at all.
Well, they were known in silence, and in that moment, there is a quiet word with the Lord himself. Lord, we prayed earlier that the words of our mouth and the meditation of our hearts might be acceptable in thy sight, our God, our strength, and our Redeemer. We ask you, God, to set a watch to our mouth that we may not sin against thee with our lips. Lord, we know how easy it is to speak and to traffic in unfelt truth. Oh God, give us the grace to practice what we preach and to live just as we pray. Oh God, we long to be men and women and young people, completely surrendered to the authority of the Lord Jesus, filled and controlled and dominated by the indwelling Spirit, lies day by day may be an outshining of the indwelling Christ, and will give thee all the glory through Jesus Christ, the wonderful Lord. Amen. We're going to change the tempo of this meeting a little. And we're going to sing 160. I'm sure my good brother Barry won't mind me doing this. 160. Now I want you to notice the word. Soldier, fighting in the world's great strife. On thyself relying, battling for thy life. Trust thyself no longer. You've done it long enough though, haven't you? You've been trusted the Christian life in the flesh, haven't you? And you made a mess of it, haven't you now? Now, as you come to this lovely hymn, notice the word. Then, 160. I want you to notice the word, and we'll sing it softly. It ought to be sung with a marching tempo, but we're going to sing it softly, right?